The more I pray about building, the more I just keep on hearing intimacy, intimacy. We're not done yet. And you're doing what you say we mustn't do, like running, getting to the destination. So we're going to build intimacy tonight, yet again, which is awesome. So the title for my sermon tonight is Growing in Knowing. And that Greek word is kinousko, and what it's based on is in Matthew 7, verse 21, where they said about Jesus, we cast out demons in your name, and we did, and he said, depart from me, I do not know you. So the word that know is kinousko in Greek, and that it's actually such an intimate word that they translated in other scriptures as intercourse between a man and a woman. And it might be quite strange to think about that, but that is the kind of intimacy, that is God longs for such an intimate relationship, a beautiful relationship with each one of us. But we, a lot of times we have respect for God, which is awesome. And sometimes you can have respect for someone, but you can't have a relationship with that person. There's a difference. And I believe God wants to bring us closer and closer and closer. Before I start, I just want to share this image that we, while we were praying in intercession. And I trust tonight that we will let go of preconceived ideas of how we're supposed to enter into God's presence. And let go of the idea that you need to like press in and press in and like for 10 minutes. Or we have weird ideas, but there's a lot of different ways. And God knows you personally. So if you're going to try to experience God and come into his presence like someone else does, it might not work for you. So I trust that you will know that God knows you tonight. And there was this German lady that I stayed with for a while, and she said she loves jazz music, you know. And she's a pastor's wife. And she said it took her so long to let go of which music exactly. I'm not saying go and listen now very creepy stuff and worship on the day. I'm just saying if you like some, if you like jogging, if you like hiking or a certain type of music, be who you are in front of God. But the vision in the intercession was, it was a child playing with his or her dad in an open field. And I see this a lot. But it's like God just keeps on reminding me of this picture, because I think we don't get it. Because he keeps on reminding me. And it's a child playing in an open field with his dad. And I think the other picture we have coming into the presence of the Lord is a lot of times, you know, you need to be neat. You need to like, okay, sort out like everything. Okay, God, can I get in? Okay. And I, you know, or we have a lot of things that we think that we're not aware of always. And I'm not saying, you know, sometimes we're going to be face down on the ground because God is holy. And he is so holy. But that won't be forced. It will come from a place where you recognize his holiness. And I believe we're in a lot of routines thinking things must be in a certain way, and we're just going and we're just going, but we're not thinking anymore what we're doing. And may we know that God wants to play with you in an open field as well. May he show us just how we can be. So last week we realized Noah walked with God before he started building. And I think we got the idea that it's important to spend time with God, and that we need to walk with God, and that we need to long for intimacy with God. But during this week, I just asked myself, how does that look like? How does intimacy with God look like? We have like, I must almost say this Christian slang, what we just say and we speak it, but have we ever thought of, but how does this look like? And I believe you shared that in your small groups as well. So I hope it's just a continuation from that, but we can go into the next slide. First slide. So building blocks for intimacy. And to remember it, I thought we'd go with the T's. And it's think, trust, transparency, time. I think there's a lot more, but for now, I want to focus on those four. Think, trust, transparency, and time. But before we start there, I want us to think now, okay? So I want us to share with the person next to you. Just again, why do you believe or why do you don't believe tonight? And it's a safe place if you feel like you don't believe. Because the thing is, sometimes we think we can lie to God. But we can't. Just saying. He knows what's in your heart. And even if you feel like, no man, I believe, I know there's a God, but I feel far away. Or I just want us to remind ourselves, why do we believe tonight? What would you say to an atheist outside of this church if he asks you, why do you believe? So let's share with one another for 3 minutes. Someone just shared now, because if she doesn't believe, what then? Like, there's nothing else she can, what if she doesn't believe? And someone once said, as a Christian, where I stand might have some problems, but where you stand is absolute chaos. and we won't have all the answers, just to say that from the start. But we can reflect and think. And I think it's good to have an answer that you actually thought about when someone approached you, so that we can also be effective when we go out. Okay, so let's go to the first one. It takes thinking to have faith. Now, Timothy Keller, I just want to share a bit about this guy. He says, he used this example of an island. And say, for example, you have heard of this island where there's a lot of treasures and there's a lot of, but you'll have to give your whole life to get to that island. Or you're just going to take the first person's word for it and jump on, give your whole life, surrender everything and jump on a plane and go to this island? No. And he says, so it's good to think a bit about what you're doing, because it's a big thing that you're doing. And it, in the long run, it will help you if you think also what you're doing and what it takes and all of that. Bear with me. You must still trust the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. But that does not mean we can switch off this beautiful brain that is also given us. Okay. So then Timothy Keller says, faith consists and requires and stimulates thinking. The reason there is not much faith today is because there is not much thinking. Doubt is not too much thinking, but too little. And this doesn't always make sense to our heads. It's like, no, man, I'm scared sometimes to dig deep. What if I start doubting? And as a theological student, there's been a lot of stuff thrown at me in terms of, oh, so what are you, fifth, sixth year now? Are you still a Christian? Like, or do you actually still believe? And people have this perception of reflecting. And I think I've shared this once, but one of my professor once said, you know, when you get a degree, you feel like, yo, I think I can share something now. Maybe I can share something. Then you get a master's degree and you're like, whoa, I don't know. I don't think I know. And then you might get a PhD and you'll be like, nobody knows. And you know, the irony of this is that you get more dependent on God. So the more you learn, the more you know that you don't know. So don't be scared to dig deeper, to ask questions, to trust God, to pray for his protection. But then also, he said, people will come to him, and he'll ask them, do you believe Jesus is true? Before he starts with anything, would like, do you, and they'll be like, yeah, he's true to me. yeah, like true to me. And he says, no, he must be true, period. And I think we're good with that. He's true to me. Like, I've experienced him year and year and year, but we can't actually evangelize. Someone in Europe maybe won't just be okay with that. And I'm not saying we need to get very intellectual here now and we all have different giftings. But I think we can be more effective than what we think. And that we're willing to. Because sometimes we're lazy. and sometimes we always say, oh, Jesus is my first love. You know, but if you think about how you get to know your first love and how you actually get to know the person you're interested in, I don't really know who's the first love. If you, in terms of who was Jesus' parents, where did he live? Oh, wow, how long did he live? Okay, wow, dig into that, those Gospels. Learn about his life, this first love of ours. And this is not to condemn, it's just that was asked to me, I believe. And I felt convicted in that regard. And then that, okay, seeking God. And then he also said this, if you think long enough, you have to realize that there must be something more. And I know there's a lot of people out there who will tell you maybe, no, I've thought about this, there's nothing. But I think, I truly believe if you sit long enough, within your own emotions and alone with nothing around you, and you sit long enough, you'll have to think there must be more. And he used this example. He said, even an atheist, if he goes home and he says to his wife, I love you, then he's already overstepping his belief, because love is something more than what he can see or what he's used to. And it's so it's good to listen to things like this also too. And I don't know who of you have watched that movie Case for Christ. It's also very good to think about these things. And why I'm starting with thinking, I just want to say this up front, is it's easier to pursue a relationship, to go into a relationship once you actually really believe it exists. Then it's better to you're longing more for intimacy then, once you've actually went through a lot of questions. I grew up in a Christian home. I studied theology. I went to Shofar since I was in my first year. I was in Dwemini's houses from 8 years old asking questions. But then I went to Europe 2 years ago alone. And I was confronted, away from my studies, away from my family, away from my church, do I believe? Do I believe, surrounded by atheists? And that was such a precious time for me. Because during those 3 months, I realized I do believe. Because every single person I'm having a conversation with is longing for something in me. And I'm not longing for something in them. But it was a journey away from everything. And then to study the word. I also, this is also something we always say, read scripture. And I thought about practical ways how we can do this. And there's a lot of, I don't know, just giving some pointers, but the Bible Project, if you want to YouTube that, any book that you wish to read, before you do it, maybe just get an overview of that book. And you just type in YouTube, Bible Project, Matthew, and it will give you that. Or David Pawson, Unlocking the Bible. All his teachings is also on YouTube. An overview of the Old Testament. He really describes it so beautifully, like giving you the map, showing you where this place is today. It makes it more real. It's like, what? This is actually where it was. And this is where everyone, all the roads crossed. And that's why this can happen. So you can grow in faith with your mind as well. You can see how the New Testament fulfills the Old Testament. So there's something that we sometimes miss also in this regard. Okay, you can go. Thanks. I want to read us this scripture. Just because Noah also features in there. Now, I'm just joking. But he is actually featuring in there. So, defining faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And without faith it is impossible to please him. Without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. So the first thing I want us to see there is things not seen. That's what I want us to see. And I think a lot of times we use this scripture. I think everyone knows Hebrews 11 verse 1. What is faith? Faith is that which you cannot see. It's most of us might know this scripture. It was my favorite one in high school. So this comes like a long way. But that not seen has been misinterpreted sometimes with, you know, man, just go in with a blind faith and stuff. And not seen means... sometimes the things see, what you see, is what will make you doubt. It's not an excuse. If you see a lot of hurt, a lot of people say, but where's God in this? It's what they see. Peter, when he got out of the boat, he saw the storms. He was walking on water, but then he saw what was going on, and he sunk. Yeah. And then God said, you of little faith. And for me, if I think, what? If I am willing to get out of a boat walking on water and someone tells me you of little faith, I'll be like, what is faith then, you know? But there's something we might miss. What does God see as great faith? If that's not great faith. And I believe it's how we end. It's not how we start. You can start with too baie geloof, but it's the endurance. It's the running the race that is set before you. It's keeping your eyes focused on Jesus Christ. That is what makes faith great. But you know, when our emotions are a bit haywire, and if we don't feel God anymore, and if we don't feel like we're a Christian anymore, we need something to hold on. We need something to hold on. We need some thinking that we've done about this, that we've given our whole life for, so that we can run this race with endurance. And then, so he also says that that doesn't mean not using your mind. And then by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of the things that are visible. So this can also just tell of like, yo, this that we see is not something that's made of something visible. Like love, it can't just be something that's made of all of this. It's something supernatural. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. So I think we need to reflect on how we believe and build on our faith if it's not possible to please God, which we all want to do without it. to God must believe that he exists. Okay, so you get that. And then who seek him. And I use this example a lot, so I don't know, I don't hope you've heard it, but I think I was in my second year or somewhere, and I was like hearing all these testimonies, and I didn't have any. And I'm like, no man, this never happens to me. Or no man, what? Okay, you're cool. But I never experienced it. And I was there on my knees and I was like, God, I'm seeking you. Why don't I experience anything of this? And da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then in my thoughts just came Proverbs 2. Oh, listen to the beautiful rain. Thank you, Jesus. And I was like, but I don't, I just heard this Proverbs 2 and now like people say ja, hulle het woord gekry and then I'm like how do you get word out and now this Proverbs 2 just keeps on and I'm like no man Susel, jy raak nou laf. Soos and it just keeps on Proverbs 2 Proverbs 2. And when I went to my Bible I'm going to say it in Afrikaans because it said like soek my soos 'n verborge skat en spoor my op. So now I thought what do we see as treasures on earth? So say if I see tell you guys there's 10,000 rand in this building tonight. 10,000 rand and no really no there's not really if I say really and whoever gets it it's yours. We'll even throw you a party, it's yours. It's gonna celebrate 10,000 rand. And I just compared God with 10,000 rand now. Nay. But think of how you would have jumped up and searched for that 10,000 rand now. And how we're searching for God. Where's that passion? Where's that longing? And sometimes when we were just saved and you realize what God has done for you and it's this radical turn maybe, or maybe just this experience that you have, we're like on fire. But it's like this bowing going up, a spiritual bowing and then something where... But I trust that God will show us how to keep that passion alive. And we can't keep it alive. It's the Holy Spirit that will keep it alive. But to sit at His feet and pray, not because He needs it, but because you need it to keep your flame alive. Okay, so we can go on to the next one. Trust. So the first one was thinking, trust. How would I ever know whether you will catch me when I never jump? So I think another thing to build intimacy with God, so first to believe that He exists and come to that conclusion for yourself, and then to trust Him. For example, this morning, I was quite terrified. I had to preach here in the morning service, and I don't know why, but I was quite intimidated with a lot of older people, and I'm like, yo, Jesus, hier maak jy sin in die natuurlike nie. Soos, jy weet hier, soos, I don't feel like, huh? And but every single time, I believe God has asked me to do something like that. It feels like a David Goliath thing that He asks me. And I trusted Him. And I said, okay, I'll do it. He has never forsaken me. He has never let me down. Never. And every time, I would always want to ask, what's that ark in your life? The ark you need to build. So this morning, my crazy thing that I had to do was like, come and preach at the morning service. For me, that was like, yo, whew, not by might or power, but by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. Okay. And every time I do it, but it's like I call it bungee jump moments. To take the bungee jump moment and to see how God comes through. But you need to get out of that comfort zone. You need to believe what God says over you. Because otherwise you'll never do it. But you need to spend time with Him to hear what He says about you. Okay, so trust. Noah's hope was not in seeing the destination or directing the steering wheel. This is just a reminder of last week when we said the boat was without windows or a steering wheel. So was it about the destination and the view? And I think we came to the conclusion, no, it was more about there and then and trusting and intimacy there with God. But then Romans 5 verse 5 to 8 says, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So the first thing I want to highlight there is unashamed hope. And the verses just before that, I think, is the one we all know, or a lot of us know. It's like, if you suffer creates perseverance, and perseverance character. And that is the thing, that suffering will happen in our lives. It's not something that we get a free ticket of. But it's actually God helping us to strip us from things that we put our hope in the whole time. But He wants to tell us, put your hope in something that will never shame you. Because it will always stay true. It will always stay constant. It will be your rock. And it's awesome to know that you will never be ashamed of what you believe. You might feel like it sometimes in your workplace, but if you look eternity-wise, you will never, ever be ashamed of this, where you put your hope in. And then poured out love through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Poured out love through the Holy Spirit. So that scripture that's up there, I put it on there for a reason, because the first part that we spoke about was like thinking about what we know and what do we think about Christianity and all of those things. But this scripture has nothing to do with that. That is the experience. That is something that also exists when the Holy Spirit comes and pours out God's love into your heart. And I've heard a lot of testimonies, and I've experienced it as well. And if you feel far away in that regard, come tonight and trust Him. Trust Him to pour out His love in your heart again. The other thing we also felt in intercession is, I really pray that God must give us a heart of flesh again. Because I think we've been hardening our hearts. We might be in routine. You might be doing this church thing for a while now. So you're like, it's getting boring now. You might feel like, I've been through enough. It's finished now. But I trust that God will soften our hearts tonight again. Every part that we've hardened. Because He does that job, not us, in terms of pouring out His love, but asking to do that for you. And we already spoke about that, growing practically. So you can think how you can grow practically in trusting God this week. Get yourself out of that comfort zone. So the question what I want to ask next is, what do you think is God's biggest desire? To dwell with us. Well done. Know that God desires relationship with you. But that means you need to be transparent. You also need to make yourself vulnerable before Him. Because the real question is, if we're not even willing to make ourselves vulnerable to a perfect, loving Father, how are we going to make ourselves vulnerable in front of each other? And I believe it was 2 years ago, I was confronted with this question in my mind the whole time. Are you willing to be vulnerable before men because you're steadfast in Me? Because there's a lot of people who's willing to share the gospel and their breakthroughs and what they got right. But there's not a lot to say, I identify with you, brother. I identify with you. I don't know. I'm hurting. And I don't know about of you guys, but if someone comes to me and they're so raw, and even if it's a very bad place where they're at in terms of how they feel and it's the lowest of low, but when they come to me in that state and when they are like broken vessels there in terms of I surrender, that is the most beautiful place. If you see a glimpse of someone being vulnerable, we appreciate that so much. It's like, it's almost like a holy moment for me. It's like a wow. But our identity is so trapped in everything around us and not in this perfect Father that we can't do that. And I think it's preventing us a lot to go out as we can. For God and to share His gospel. So drawing closer and making Himself vulnerable. And I believe that's from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. I couldn't have a scripture. I'm sorry. I'm trying not to quote the Bible here, but if you just see right through scripture, He saves His people, the people reject Him. He makes another plan. Like Seth there, I don't know, Cain kills Abel, the one who was supposed to have the descendants or the hope, then Seth is born. And Adam and Eve is such a cool example for me in terms of as soon as they felt the shame and that they covered them up. And God didn't go away when they covered them up, he came and asked, "Where are you?" As if he didn't know. But he asked, "Where are you? Where are you?" He will keep on coming closer and closer and closer. He's not intimidated by our rejection. But you can decide against him. But his love for you will stand, and his heart will keep on breaking. And I pray that he will come and break our hearts again, because it's not worth it to build up all of these walls. It's not worth it. We're missing out. You can trust him. So the next slide, this is now a bit vulnerable for me, but I was trusting God and asking, what does he say to you guys tonight? And as I was just writing this, this is what I was writing, and I believe I'm a human. This is just what I believe. His heart is for us today. Coming to our secret place, stripped from all the right words. I know exactly what you face. Share your heart unashamed. Get to know me. Long to know what I see. You might feel confused. I'm not. You might remember and think I forgot. Better is one day in my courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Although the waiting period might feel forever, I want you to truly taste and see that I am good. I still know the plans I have for you. I am the writer, I am the glue. Remember, my thoughts are higher than yours, my love more than you will ever grasp. I don't just want a casual relationship with you, my beloved. I know you, I know you, I know you. Better than you know yourself. I love you. I created you. I know what is best for you. I sent my son for you. A life surrendered is an adventure, not a burden. I am the rock on which you can stand, the one with an outstretched hand. May I do life with you. And I believe that is what he's asking from us. But it's hard sometimes to say yes, because it's the unknown. It's an adventure. But you can see it as a burden, or you can see it as an adventure. You can trust God that he knows best through the fire, or you can look at the fire. And I want us to, there's one more, so we are transparent. And now it's, do you feel like you can let God in every room of your heart? And this is the last scripture. It's actually with time, but it also goes with the vulnerability, transparent part over into time. So if we can go to the Revelation. So I think it's applicable to like end with Revelation. Now that I said it's from Genesis to Revelation. But Revelation 3 verse 20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and judge him and shame him." No. But that is what we think. No, God, not this door, not this door. And he says, "Open it. Because I will come and eat with him and he with me." I won't come. Someone once said, why he wants to share God's love is because in the moment where he thought that he's only going to experience shame and judgment, he received love and grace and freedom. And people need to know about that love. That is his testimony. But that door, sometimes we have a trilly door also. In a lot of our doors. And just the time there, when you open the door, to be there, to spend time with God. So the last slide is, be still and know why you believe that our Father and Holy God is in control. Trust that he desires relationship with you. Transparency. That he knocks and wants to eat in every room of your heart. Give him that time. So think about our awesome Christianity. Because the more you think about it, the more you realize I'm part of such a bigger picture. And it will take a lot of yokes off your shoulder. Won't put on more. It will take it off. and trust Him. Step out into that unknown. Be transparent, be willing, be courageous to be vulnerable before God and spend time with Him. So before I pray for us, just sit there where you are. We can maybe just put the lights off and look at this last video and just spend time with God in His presence. Wanted to miss that last part, but I missed it. Happy Father's Day, everyone. I was like, when I watched it, I'm like, no, I'm just going to show it anyway. I'm gonna pray for us, and then can I ask the band to play the Hosanna song again? But I also want to encourage you, if you need prayer, we'll be here. But I also want to encourage you to spend time with God and share your heart with Him. If you feel like that, you can stay here and just spend time with Him. Okay. Sure, Father God, thank you for this evening. And I pray that your seed will fall on good ground. And Father God, thank you for every heart. Thank you for every precious heart sitting in front of me. And thank you for your love for us. And we can't grasp it, but we say thank you tonight. And I say, I want to do it. And I believe there's a few of us, a lot of us. I just experience, if you just today, I mean, I've also been walking a road for so long, but if you just want to say, God, yes, I want to walk closer with you. I want to walk closer. Just say where you are, yes, Jesus, I want to walk closer. I want to walk closer with you. I don't always know how, but show me, teach me to number my days. Thank you that I am clothed with strength and dignity and that I can love unto the days to come without fear. Thank you that you know the plans you have for us, and it's to prosper and not to harm. And thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And thank you that we can walk on this earth with your armor.